Good morning, everyone. Again, if I can say a couple things on what you were talking about, Sue. First thing, I'm going to look at things from a different perspective. You see, we did not lose the head of the ministry because the head of the ministry is Jesus Christ. My father went to be with the Lord. He went home. There's a big difference if you look at things from the right perspective. It also means that there is no gap in leadership. There is no gap in vision. There is no gap in purpose. There is nothing lacking. There is no skip. There's no bump in the road in the sense of Jesus is still in charge. And he still runs things. And when we submit ourselves to that truth and that understanding, then not only can we function regardless of who he has in place, we don't have to miss a beat. So I want to just say that Steve preached a sermon about Joshua and on Wednesday, and Phil made mention of it, and I remember I was listening to it on Wednesday, and it was a good service, and it was one that Dad had preached many times, and it's just another example of how important it is to remember those admonitions. Joshua's plea and the people's plea with him was that the Lord be with them, because they were following the Lord in Joshua. And that's the same thing we have now. And the thing that we have to realize is whether or not it's looking to a person that's head of a ministry, like Steve has taken over Brother Davey's position. But guess what? You know, if you're a wife, you have a husband, probably, should, maybe, theoretically, you have a head somewhere. And you can trust the Lord in that person for your best interest. You can trust the Lord in your authority. It's not about trusting your authority. It's not about them being right. It's not about them being perfect. It's not about them having the pristine track record of perfection that warrants their loyalty or their, you know, loyalty to them. No, it's God's track record of perfection is perfect. It's without blemish, and you can trust that. And when you can get your perspective and your mindset and your eyes off the person or off the banner over the door or whatever, and get your mind and your eyes and your mindset firmly and squarely on Jesus, then there is no gap. So I just wanted to mention that. Now, knowing that and practically exercising it, well, that's where we struggle, right? I mean, ultimately, that's where I struggle. How about you? But, you know, walking in the day. Look, I can look at things logically. I can dissect things. I know scripture is very linear in the sense of 1 + 1 = 2. You know, I mean, it's, you know, math has absolute things to it. And the gospel is an absolute gospel. It's consistent. It's the same. It works. Pardon me. When I think of the word, it is the most sure thing in existence. Why? Because it's Jesus. Amen? In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. And I'm going to actually read that because I don't want to screw it up worse than I did already. So in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. This is chapter 1, verse 1. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I mean, so this, the surety of Jesus is absolute. The promises of Jesus are absolute. This is a given, it's a guaranteed, you can take it to the bank, into a bank that cannot be defrauded. This is a, I don't know how else to put it, it's as sure as the sun's coming up tomorrow, until Jesus says it's not coming up tomorrow. I mean, this is the certainty of it. God's word is true. So for me, what I struggle with is my emotions, my feelings get, well, they get out of bounds. And in those times, my only anchor is to go back and look at the Word. Look at the promises of God. Look at the goodness of God. Look at the mercies of God. Look at the things of God that I know are absolute and cannot change. And that is where I began my fight. Because I struggle at times, as I know everyone struggles at times. I struggle with just believing, or I struggle with, you know, being really irritated and pissed off, or I struggle with, you know, gosh, every time I take a step, it's the wrong freaking step. Again, I struggle with the same sort of things that everybody struggles with. And then it's those times where the enemy will want to come in and reinforce that doubt. He will want to come in and, you know, he'll sort of fund the enemy, you know, our own self-doubt, our own place that we stand, the unbelief that exists in our heart. He will want to support that and fund it and strengthen it. And he does this. He does this through all manner of things. He throws imaginations at us. He throws family at us. He throws all manner of stuff at us to bolster that doubt. And it's in those times, me personally, and I don't know how you deal with it, I don't know how you address these issues, but for me, I go to the Word. I go to the Word and I read, all right, I am angry at so-and-so, or I'm upset at such-and-such. All right. Well, the Bible says store not up treasures on earth. So if I'm bent out of shape about stuff, then I'm missing the point, am I not? All right, so I know that that person I'm angry at, or that situation I'm frustrated with, isn't the fault. It's my own unbelief. It's my own pride. It's my own lack of willingness to submit to that which I know by God's word is correct. So it doesn't make, sometimes maybe the other person is in the wrong. It doesn't matter. Their walk with God is their walk with God. Who cares? Maybe they're 100% right and I'm 1,000% wrong. It doesn't matter if I'm wrong. I mean, this is just where it is. I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong. So what do you do? Well, I go to the Word. I go to the Word, and I choose to believe it. I draw a quick story here. You know, Brother Davey, my dad, used to talk about piloting an aircraft. And if you only knew how to fly an airplane by visual cues, you could only fly during the day in good weather. And guess what? That's how most Christians are. They can only be Christians when everything's going well. When it's sunny and clear, man, they're on it. Jesus is awesome. But the first rain cloud that comes and all of a sudden there's fog or who knows what else, you know, they're, God sucks all of a sudden. You know, God, why are you doing this to me? Isn't that, I mean, I'm sure you know people like that and maybe even are one of them. I don't know. Why did you let this happen, God? Well, guess what? Rain happens. In fact, we're promised it. Are we not promised tribulation? Are we not promised struggle? I mean, the rainbow we have because it rained and destroyed everything. I mean, the rainbows are beautiful, but they come after the storm. So Dad used to talk about flying an airplane, and boy, you know, if you've, all you've got is that training and visual input to take off, land, navigate, you know, you'd be very limited. I mean, you're not going to be able to fly in bad weather. And that's the way most Christians are. They can't handle adversity. They can't handle it when things get tough. You know, if you go back to Matthew, and you talk about the parable of the seed and the sower, there's that group of people that spring up quick, right? They get the gospel, springs up quick, but then there's no root and tribulation cometh. And what happens? They're gone. But see, there's another way to fly a plane. So you've got visual input and then you've got instruments. I've never flown a plane, but I have flown some drones, and gosh, I know they're not identical, but I tell you, the new drones I have, you know, according to law, you have to maintain visual sight, and I do that. But when the drone is 2,500 feet away, I don't know if it's facing me or turned away from me. I see a speck. I can see it. I know it's there. It's still flying. I don't know if it's going away or coming towards me. I don't know. Either it can even be a little light on the drone. I can't see it from that far away. But I can look down. I can look down at my controller and see on the controller, it's got a little picture of the drone, and it tells me which way I'm oriented. Am I oriented away? Am I going left? Am I going right? It tells me where I'm pointed. And I can look down at that instrument, and I can say, okay, so I want to go to the left, but my drone is pointed right. So I can rotate it. I can watch which way it's going. I can't see it rotate because it's too far away. But I can look at my instruments, and I can fly that where I want it. And, you know, I can – it's pretty cool. I can go higher. I can go lower. It tells me how fast I'm going, my distance, my altitude. I have all the information there. And even though I can't physically see the minor changes that I'm telling it to make with the controller, I can see on the display what's happening. So I'm actually flying not by sight, but I'm flying by instruments. And that's what we all need to be. Because I can't tell you how many times I've looked at my drone and thought I was pointing forward and I was pointing backwards, or I meant to go forward and went backwards and went to go right and went left, and, you know, things get turned around, and before you know it, if all you have is the visual cues in your own reflexes, you're going to put it in the dirt. You're going to lose it, fly away. You're going to lose it. You're going to crash. But if I watch the instruments, and sometimes I see it and the instruments tell me something different, but if I trust the instruments, because they're more accurate than my own vision, if I trust them, I always come home and I don't crash. And that's God's word. You see, if you trust God's word, even, and it often is going to be contrary to what you think, and I say God's word not only in his written scripture, but also God's word through his ministers. Brother Steve mentioned stories of where Brother Davey would give him something to do, and it was so contrary to what he thought was right. He said, surely this couldn't be true. And as he was obedient to those things, even though they made no sense to him and to his thought processes and plans, they always worked out as right. And that's the surety of God. That's the surety of the Lord's word, in his provision, and his love, and his mercy, and his grace. You know, one of the things that the enemy wants to get us doing, he really wants to get us beating our hands against the air and fighting an enemy with weapons that are not effective. I had the opportunity of going and doing a little hunting for the first time ever, hunting big game and using an air gun, and this was a big deal for me. And I learned on that trip what was effective and what was less than effective. And I like effective, personally. You know, if I have an opportunity to face down a wild boar and shoot him one time and he die, I like that. That works. I don't like shooting him five or six times and having him charge me. That is not fun. It's exhilarating, but it's also very dangerous and likely to get hurt at some point. That's what you call ineffective. Eventually it was effective. I did kill it. But I like that one shot. You know, I like that one accurate shot and you're done. I don't like fighting a battle with ineffective weapons. It doesn't make any sense. And what's more important than having the right weapons is, gosh, knowing the right enemy. How many times are we fighting a battle or angry or frustrated and spinning our wheels in efforts against one another or the circumstances, our job? There was a movie that I got sort of sandbagged into. Thank you, Carrie. And what else? The War Room. I'm thinking that sounds good. Good manly movie, War Room. It's about a little old black lady who prayed. It was a great movie. It was a phenomenally good movie. Probably one of the best movies I've seen that is a quote-unquote Christian movie. It was exceptional. It was very good. Watch it. It's awesome. But some of the things she was talking about were so absolutely true. You know, your job is not your enemy. Your boss is not your enemy. The government, not your enemy. Your spouse, your children, these things are not your enemy. They're not. And how do I know this? Because, well, some lady on a TV show or movie said it? No, it's because the Bible says it. It goes back to the surety and absolute truth of God's word. I want to read you something. I want to go over to Ephesians. And we're going to go to verse 10 of chapter 6. Now, if you go through Ephesians, this is the last chapter, and it's the last part of the chapter. So Paul is wrapping things up. This is the summary. This is the conclusion of all the stuff he's talked about, and he's going to put it into this final perspective he wants these guys to see. Finally, my brethren, you see what I'm saying? He's wrapping things up here. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, now, is that limited to certain circumstances or certain things in your life? Maybe be strong in the Lord at church. But at home, you're on your own. Be strong in the Lord when you're playing music for the ministry, or you're an usher, or you're a deacon for those that have such things. But, you know, when you're at work, that's your work life. And when you're at, you know, you've got your home life and your friends at the, your sports life and your, you know, no, I mean, be strong in the Lord and the power of his life and the power of his might. Full stop. Everything. Because your ministration to those around you isn't segmented. It's one. It's one ministry. It's one service. If we serve God, we serve him all the time. Not some of the time. It's all the time. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? That's the sneaky little crap he likes to pull. Look, our flesh is corrupt, and believe me, it can spin a very good yarn of about how so-and-so and such are complete and total idiots and just don't understand. Y'all ever had those thoughts? Oh, Steve just doesn't understand. I know nobody's ever had that about Brother Davey. Oh, truth is, if we're going to be honest, if I'm going to be honest, I'll let you make up your own mind. If I'm going to be honest, I've had it about both of them. They just don't understand. So that's just my natural man that I have to battle against. But, you know, the enemy helps that out. He funds it. He supports it. He provides nourishment and reinforcements to that little seed of doubt. And if you're not in Christ, which is what we're going to get to here, which is the armor of God, is God's armor. To put it on is to be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not going to stand. I mean, done. This isn't put on the armor so that you can kick butt. No, you don't get it. This doesn't say that. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You don't have a chance. You don't have a snowball's chance in an extremely hot environment without being in Christ. Just realize the significance of that for a moment. This is not, it's not one of those optional things. You know, there's so many things we've talked about over the last couple of years. They're not optional concepts. They're absolutely mandatory. Love one another. Is that optional? No, it's mandatory. Obeying the Lord. Is that optional? No, it's mandatory. These are mandatory things. To be, you have to be in Christ. You're not going to stand. You're just not going to. Because what happens is that if you are in Christ, you will learn how to fly by instrument. If you are not, then you will only ever be able to exist when it's sunny and pretty outside. And guess what? It is not always sunny and pretty outside. It's not. All right. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So where is the fight? Is it a natural fight? No, it's not. It's a spiritual fight. See, people get wrapped up in the mechanics of the physical fight, and they might as well go out and just swing their arms in the backyard because that's about as effective. I go back to that silly movie, dadgummit. I mean, granted, it was written. There was a script, okay? So this was not a documentary per se. But the script was a good script. And it really talked about you can't win in the natural unless you first deal with it in the spiritual. And if you deal with it in the spiritual, the natural will automatically take care of itself. That wasn't expressly said, but guess what? Brother Davy said that many, many times over. You want to see a change in your household? You can't do that from the outside in. You have to do that from the inside out, and it starts with you. You have to change. Your heart has to change. Your attitude has to change. You have to... Your relationship with the Lord has to change, has to grow, has to be the priority. If you do it, then others will see it, and the Lord will honor that, and he will begin to work with them. And that's how change happens. You see, we are locked into this mindset that we have to do something. Well, it started out with what? Be strong in who? The Lord and the power of his might. Now I look at me and I think I'm pretty good at some stuff. Well, you know what? Jesus is way better. And the things I think I'm pretty good at, I'm probably crap. But it's not about what we can bring to bear or the resources we have. We are immensely and totally and so thoroughly limited that if it was up to us individually or even corporately, if all of us put all of our efforts and resources into one pot and tried to do something, it still wouldn't amount to anything. Just wouldn't. But if we put all our collective spiritual resources together and put our hearts to the Lord, and put our prayer into one focus, one goal, one mind to serve God. Now, he can work with that. He can work with that. And he can accomplish a lot with that. Because if you orient yourself with that understanding that it's in him, it's his power, his strength, his might, his armor, his ability, that our battle is not with one another, It's not even with the government per se. It's with the powers that run the government. Obama was a disaster. Well, in the natural, you can see, well, we're far better off now than we were with Bush. Well, in what regard? You see, if you're looking at all that stuff in the natural, it's like flying a plane without instruments. You're getting a flawed picture. But our fight isn't against any of them individually, them personally. That's not where the fight is at. We couldn't affect any change in either side of that coin. It just wouldn't happen if all we did was look at it from the natural. But if we address things spiritually and see the fight for what it is, it's a spiritual one. It's one that you get no credit for. Guess what? You get no recognition for. The Bible tells us to do what? Go start a national foundation and coalition for a national day of prayer and all come together in one place and let's all pray for a show. Is that what it says to do? No, it's the opposite of that. It says you go get in your closet. Okay. Huh. Interesting. That's, again, the contrast of following your intellect and your understanding and just sticking to the Word of God. You know, one of the things you said, Sue, with regard to Brother Davey, he said, I wish people would just do what I say. What they're told. Do what they're told. It wasn't that he didn't want them to do more. It wasn't that he didn't want them to go beyond that, per se. But at least do exactly what you're told. You know, if you do exactly what you're told, then if there's an adjustment, it can be made. If there's an addition, it can be addressed. But what happens so often is that people would never do that. They would interpret it, massage it in their head, reinterpret it again, and then do what they think he meant. And that was ever so frustrating. I mean, as you said, with his last breath, just do what I tell you. You know, if I want it different, I'll let you know. That was a huge, huge clinic at the end, frankly, of watching these things unfold. Just do what you're told. Be obedient. Anyway, back to this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the battle. That's the struggle. I believe Philip read the scripture today about not to weary in your mind over in Hebrews. That's the struggle. I know what I'm doing to address issues that I have. And that is simply to go to the Word and recognize how the Word is always right and I am always wrong. Does it feel good? No, it really doesn't. And sometimes I get so mad I want to spit. But it doesn't change the fact that God's Word is right and it's correct. It is the best for me. Oh, my pride hates it. My flesh hates it. My carnal man wants to run away and beat my hands against walls and break things so often. But that's all rubbish. It's all childishness. It's all just the proof that God's word is right and I am wrong. If we can get a vision and understanding that we can rest in the truth of God's word and the sufficiency of God's word and reject those things that would be contrary to his word, regardless of how it makes you feel. Then you're starting to get an idea of what it is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because it's absolutely contrary to you. And you get no credit. He gets all the credit. Because it's His victory. It's His win. The beauty of it, if you will hear, the beauty of it is that if you submit yourself to the truth of that, if you accept it, if you receive that, His win becomes your win. Because you're in Him. You see, you're in Him. And then you partake of all of those blessings and all of those victories. You become part of it. I hope and pray that folks are able to take and really grab hold in their own life of what it is to just wrestle things down in the Word. So you mentioned a scripture that I know we've talked about. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's a fear and trembling thing to think about it. Because it is a life and death, not here, but for eternity. You got to work this stuff out. You know, I'm dealing with this weird throat voice thing. It was fine a couple days ago, but yesterday I basically lost my voice. There's a bunch of crud in there. As I get the crud out, my voice improves. But I got to get the crud out. We sang the song, and I'm going to wrap up with this because I think it really kind of continues to circle around and point the arrow where the fault is at. It's not in God. It's not in our authority. It's not those. It's not in anything. It's not in our wives or children or wives. It's not in your husband. The fault is never there. It's just not. Fault's not there. The fault is squarely with you. With you. It's just get on your knees, accept that. Receive it. Submit it to God. And then let Him start fixing stuff. All right, so we sang the song, or I sang the song, more love, more power, more of you in my life. Do you know how that works? There has to be less of you. That's how that works. God wants to be more involved in your life. He wants to be. Gosh, I'm using the wrong phraseology, but look, He wants to give you all. But you got to get out. You got to get out. And then He can fill you up. Guys, I'm not going to play music because we've already run over time today. But thank you all for listening. Please do keep me in prayer if you would to get this voice thing sorted out. And I have SHOT Show all next week, which is the biggest industry thing that I deal with every year. And it's a big year. It's an important year for us and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it moving forward. So I ask you all to please keep us in prayer with those things. Stay tuned. We've got the Texas service coming up in a little under an hour, I should say. And keep those guys in prayer too, because they are adjusting. And the last couple things I've heard, they're doing a great job. So, but do keep them in prayer. They got a lot on their plates as well. All right, everybody. That's it for me. Thank you all for listening.